Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, August 30th. Today we're reading from the big book and we are on page 43, paragraph 2, which begins with doctors and psychiatrists agree and ends with virtually no other solution. Today's readers are Kathy M., Shelley E., Janelle T., Hillary B., and our newcomer greeters, Loretta M., and the announcements will close us out by Betsy H. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21700. That's 21700. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21702. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy M. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kathy M., recovered in Michigan, one day at a time. Step one, we admitted we are powerless over food. Their lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. The decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I apologize if there is background noise. Have a great day, everybody. I'll pass.
No problem, Kathy. You sounded great. Okay, and I will now ask Shelley E. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
You bet. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. These are OA's 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal welfare. Recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for lending me this service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 43, reading paragraph 2. And I will now ask Chanel P. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Chanel T. in Washington State. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Many doctors and psychiatrists agree with our conclusion. One of these men, a staff member of a world-renowned hospital, recently made this statement to some of us. What you say about the general hopelessness of the average alcoholic's plight is, in my opinion, correct. As to two of you men whose stories I've heard, there's no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. Had you offered yourself as patients at this hospital, I would not have taken you if I had been able to avoid it. People like you are too heartbreaking. Though not a religious person, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there is virtually no other solution. Wow, hopelessness. Been there a couple times. So you know what? Let's look up what hopeless means in Merriam-Webster. Just hopeless. Having no expectation of good or success. Despairing. Not susceptible to remedy or cure, incapable of redemption or improvement, giving no reason to expect good or success, giving no ground for hope, desperate, incapable of solution, management or accomplishment, impossible. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, well, that describes my disease. My disease is a compulsive eater where I didn't have a choice in it. I didn't have a choice in it. It's not because of traumas I experienced. It's not because of who my parents are. It's just me. It's a disease I have. I personally believe I was born with it, but whether I was or not, I know I have it. It's hopeless without help. So the good news is I'm not helpless today. The good news is that as I shared recently on this meeting where I was in a whitewater rafting situation and we were dumped out of the boat, half of us, and I was speeding down that river, hurtling down it at a very uncomfortable speed, thank God for the wetsuit, but I was hopeless. There was nothing I could do for myself. I was despairing. This was an impossible situation, and I was most certainly desperate. At the end of 2022, that's where I was in this disease. Yeah, the weight was there, but it wasn't even about that anymore. It wasn't even about that anymore. It was about despairing of the fact that I could not fix this problem. And I thought, you know what? The problem isn't even just the weight. The problem is I'm spiritually dead. Something is just not okay. I have my daughter. I have everything to live for. And yet I don't even want to live, really. No, I didn't have ideations of ending my life. But I was not excited about waking up every morning. For what? To be in bondage to this again? So let me quickly wrap up. You know what? As the doctor acknowledges, the solution, see how it says it at the end of that paragraph? There's a solution. It's a higher power. How does that work? I'll tell you what, stick around, because working these 12 steps seems like it's so counterintuitive. What are you talking about? I'm going to do all these things and the magic's going to happen? Yes, I'm going to do all these things and the magic does happen. Miracles happen every day. And today I have hope that I never had in my whole life. I have freedom from the bondage of food, and I get to really know my higher power, myself, and you in ways I never imagined. I wouldn't trade it. Stick around. Stick around if you're new or you're coming back. And that's all I've got. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for that awesome lead to know tea. Okay. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 43, paragraph 2, begins with doctors and psychiatrists agree and ends with virtually no solution. Please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Mary Lee R.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Wendy B. Okay. Anybody else?
Linda G. in Alabama.
Linda G. Alabama.
Sherry H. M. Washington. Jamie G. in Michigan.
Bruce E. in Florida.
Okay, that's
Jamie
a great
G.
lineup. Okay, I'll read back what I've got. I have Mary Lee R. in Oregon, Wendy B. in Arizona, Linda G. in Alabama, Sherry H. M. in Washington, and Janice G. I'm sorry, the way I clarify my own writing here, Janice G. in Michigan, Bruce E. in Florida. Please share with us Mary Lee R. Mary Lee?
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. And such a blessed time to be on here. Thank you, moderator, and thanks everyone who suits up and shows up in whatever way we do. The word miracle was mentioned, and miracles in my life haven't changed anything. They've undone things. They've undone the roadblocks that I put up and the disconnections that I've had and the just the feeling of I can't do this, and discovering that there is a divine director in my help me do this. And something new that I'd added to my program in the last 156 days in another program was instead of my inventory at night that where I, you know, what could I have done better? What could I have said differently? I give my gratitudes, I give my thanks, and I say, thank you, God. And I go through the good stuff. And then in the morning is when I can share with my sponsor the glitches in my and I'm just really grateful for the four G's in my life, which is what is the good in my day, what the glitch in my day is, what the goal is to fix the glitch, and then finally my gratitudes again. And I just so appreciate the willingness and the courage and the strength of each and every one of you that comes on here and you share your miracles. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Gee, I like that a lot. That's great. Thank you so much, Wendy B. in Arizona is up next, followed by Linda G. Please share with us, Wendy. We're not hearing you, Wendy.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and where it says 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And I just am so grateful God brought me to the place of recognizing my powerlessness, you know, of recognizing what a mess I made of my life on my own, you know, recognizing my selfishness and how I hurt others with my selfish choices and how I couldn't control my behavior on my own. And, you know, no matter how much I tried, you know, I got to the place of desperation, of crying out to God for his help, you know, and God took the blinders off my eyes, you know, and I could no longer live in denial of my hopeless condition. You know, he gave me a desire to want the truth, you know, instead of the lies I'd believed all my life. And he gave me the ability to face my guilt, you know, and accept responsibility, you know, instead of continuing to hide from it, you know, trying to deflect it onto others, you know. And, you know, it was life-changing, you know, feeling like I was surrounded by God's searing light, you know, of truth shining into me, you know, and revealing the motives of my choices and the consequences and the harm I caused. And, you know, I was given the opportunity to agree with God's perspective. You know, I was given the opportunity to change, you know, to accept his forgiveness and let go of all the shame and guilt, you know, of my bad decisions and to feel his love and grace for me, you know, and to be set free. You know, he put me on a new path of doing his will, you know, of daily recognizing this, you know, as is an ongoing relationship, you know, of me relying and depending on him for everything. And, you know, he created me and he sustains my life. You know, he pumps my heart. He gives my body breath. You know, I'm his creation here to do his purposes. You know, and he's the director, and he provides what I need every moment, you know, and, you know, he's transformed me and made me useful, you know, and I just am forever grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. in Arizona. Appreciate that. Linda G. in Alabama is up next, and she'll be followed by Sherry H.M.
I'm not even sure really what I want to share, but I know I need to. I have come to a place where I have recognized that I have a space of hopelessness and resentment, and I have to tangle with that on a almost moment-to-moment basis in my 10th step, and I need to get rid of that. It scares me to realize that I have such a big need for my higher power. And it's a huge need. It's a space that comes from being so rejected. And on the other hand, a piece of me says to me, get over it. It was a long time ago. You're 73 years old now. You can love yourself. You can take care of yourself. You're a big girl. And you have a higher power now that loves you unconditionally. You have a husband that loves you unconditionally. You have program now that loves you unconditionally. You have a sponsor that loves you unconditionally. You have friends in program that are growing to love you unconditionally. And you have plenty of people that are growing to love you unconditionally. And they're coming to love you in a big way. And you're growing to love them too. And you need to grow. You need to grow past this in a big way. And let your higher power direct you in a big way. You need to get past this. And I recognize the truth in that. That that little girl needs to heal, and I need to let that heal. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Linda G. Sherry H.M., you are up next, followed by Janice G.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, from Washington State, gratefully recovered. Compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I love this part, saying that there is no doubt in my mind that you were 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And at the end of the paragraph, it says, for most cases, there is virtually no other solution. And this means if I'm hopeless, I'm totally out of ideas. I've tried all the pain ways, all the whatever, all these crazy and different ways, I was always focused on losing the weight. And then after I got off my whatever the diet or so-called solution was, I would just stuff myself with sugar. And stuff it and stuff it and stuff it. And I would always gain back more than I had originally lost. And I'm so grateful that many years ago, some Al-Anon friends told me about OA and the vision, especially the vision meeting, that you guys have changed my life. It's an absolute miracle that I don't crave the sugar. I don't want the sugar. I do recoil from it. And it's just, I can't believe, but I do believe because, I can't do it. God can, and I think I'll let him is what I was thinking. And it was hard at first. It was hard, but I had the gift of desperation with all my medical bills, and, I was out of ideas. So that was 10 years ago of becoming absent on August 17th. And it was, I had to do the work. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, higher power, God, do that for me. Oh, but honey, yeah, you've got a part in that too. And so, by the grace of God, he's kept me out. And I'm so very grateful. If you think you can never do this, you're right. But, the gift of desperation that will lead you to your higher power. And the higher power, God will fix it for you. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful, beautiful day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Sherry M. Janice G. from Michigan is up next, and she'll be followed by E.
Hi,
Janice.
Hi, this is Janie G. in Michigan.
Got your name right there. Thank you.
No problem. And it's Janie with an N too. So anyway, gratefully recovered here in Michigan. And I just got a lot out of this passage today. I listen every day, but I rarely share. I'm way better one-on-one in outreach calls or tent steps or working with sponsees. But I was just noticing the contrast here between hopelessness and help. And I of course, I love the alliteration there. And so I was thinking, you know, about my daily reprieve. I wake up every morning in untreated alcoholism, manifesting itself in my life with my, you know, my food addiction. But I have to have this level of honesty about my hopelessness without this divine help. And I just, every morning before I even open my eyes, I say, God, I need you again today. And I need to stay aware of how desperate I am, for this divine help. And divine, you know, is from God. It's from a deity. And I'm so thankful that I do have that God in my life today. And it's funny, you know, we say that God never gives you more than you can handle when we're trying to ourselves or others. But my experience is that God always gives me more than I can handle. And thankfully, I'm reminded of that in the 10th step when I'm asking myself, did I rely on self or God? And if I relied on self, does self-reliance work? No, never. So God always gives me more than I can handle because he doesn't expect me to handle it at all. I need his help, and I have to have this daily connection, this daily reprieve. That's what the big book says, daily reprieve. As long as I am relying and staying connected to that God, and that God of my understanding carries me through. And recently, in a time of meditation, I had the image of myself being a baby on God's back, that he was like a mother working in a field. And he said, you're just the baby on my back. Just trust me. Let me take care of you. And, you know, that's where I live today. And I don't have to do it. He does it. And I just get to watch his hands work. So I just wanted to share that. It was just really a great reminder today. And I'm so thankful for these meetings and thankful for those of you who do service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Janie G. in Michigan. Brucey, you're up next, and then we're going to take another lineup. We are commenting on page 43, paragraph 2, which begins with doctors and psychiatrists agree and ends with virtually no other solution. Please share your thoughts with us, Bruce.
I'll do that. Thank you, Jody. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area. And I'm very grateful to be on this line. I'm very grateful that we read from the big book and we study it. And really, you know, pick it apart and really look at it thoroughly. And that's really neat. For years, I thought the big book was just sort of a novel that you read that is just sort of neat. And I really wasn't getting it. Now I think I'm getting a new enlightenment or understanding about it. The doctor is talking about this stuff. You know, I think he's a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but he's not talking about that. He's actually talking about spiritual stuff. And I recognize now that the program is spiritual. I came out of a very religious background, still involved with it a lot, but I can see that it's spiritual. You know, it's me. Like I heard earlier, these things happen and they're not in God's, as I heard about God's will or God's, I can't do it. I can't do this thing. I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless just over all this stuff that comes up all the time. And what ended up happening when I first came in was I finally, I think, recognized that I couldn't do it myself. You know, that all the stuff I was trying wasn't working. And I had to come into the program, and then I saw that God works through other people. you know, in the program. God works through my sponsor. God works through all of you, you know, and the stuff you say and everything and all that. And, you know, that's the way I'm getting it, you know, so it's got to be you guys, me and God, and working this thing out. And because this is a tremendous disease, you know, I'm a very sick person. And so I need a real, you know, I'm radically sick, so I need a radical program. And it's not going to be easy, you know. It's simple, but it's not going to be easy. And it still isn't easy, you know, but it's a whole lot better than it was before. You know, I'm not as good as I'm going to get. I'm better than I was, not as good as I'm going to get. And, yeah, I just need God's help every day. And I like that, what I hear about people, you know, getting up in the morning saying, God, I need you today, man. I need you. You got to help me.
Send
you
a reminder.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jody, and I pass.
Thank you so much. And this is Elaine B. But thanks, Jody, too. okay, so though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So if you'd like to comment on page 43, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Hillary B.
Letty G.
Jan C.
Hillary B. Letty G. Jan C.
Darian K.
One or two more?
Nancy LJ, California. Nancy LJ.
LJ. And possibly room for one more if anybody wants to.
How does Sherry G spell her name?
I do not know, but will. I do not know. So, okay. So we have Hillary B, Letty G, Jan C, Darian K, and
are you there?
Elaine, you got Elaine. Muted accidentally.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, I am here. And Hillary B., please share with us.
Thank you. Hillary B. from Southern California, gratefully recovered just for today. I say just for today because I have to remember that I just have today. Apart from divine help, I am 100% hopeless. And after now 1 year and 4 months of abstinence, I'm hitting a hard place that I haven't been willing to hit before. I've been in OA a long time. And I always would turn to the food if it got this hard. Didn't even have to get this hard. It was a little bit hard. I would turn back to the food. And the hard place that I've hit, the hard ground, that's telling me in a way I can't ignore, is that I need more divine help. I need a deeper connection with my higher power. I've been struggling emotionally, feeling empty inside. And what I realize is what I've been doing so far in the program, which is doing service in meetings, doing service, taking outreach calls, sponsoring, the things that I've been doing to, and it's been working to fill the emptiness. But now I'm hitting a new realization where I have to face that either God is everything or God is nothing, and God has to be my everything. My everything. And so I'm feeling this emptiness that it was revealed to me yesterday, that it's the emptiness that I've eaten over all my life. The emptiness that I've used food to avoid feeling for my entire life. I'm 73. It's a lot of decades that I've been doing it. And I don't want to turn back to the food this time. I don't want to go back to that dark place that I was in, where I know food takes me. I don't want to gain my weight back, whether that's vanity or healthy. I don't care. I like being this size. And so I'm just digging deeper to the best of my ability. There's no roadmap. I just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and connecting with my higher power to the best I can, whatever that is. So I'll keep. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Hillary B. Letty G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jan C.
Good morning. I'm Letty G., recovering compulsive overeater and recovering from, emotional. In this program, you know, I've suffered with this for so long, and I never really sought help. I do remember a while back talking to a counselor and just telling her how depressed I would be when I was heavy, and I didn't really understand. I told her maybe it was all the sugar I was eating, and she just kind of blew off that idea. And all the doctors that I would see before, well, just push yourself away from the table and keep yourself busy, and they didn't really have an answer for me. And I really believe, even with God in my life, I never thought to ask him, but I believe that God led me to this program in his time, because it wasn't my time. If it had been my time, it would have been when I was younger, but I'm grateful, and I don't take anything for granted. I do the program to the best of my ability. I can't be one day without God. God is with me all day long. And I've learned that meditation, when you meditate, you ask God, you talk to God, but you don't always get your answer. But you have to sit still, be patient. And what I've also learned is that all the years that I opened my Bible, I never really understood that the Bible also, it's a way, it teaches you lessons and in how to live. But for whatever reason, the Big Book has been a wonderful resource. And I'm eternally grateful for all these wise people that are on every morning, and I'm on it early, and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, because I need that. It's my dose of medicine. I don't take any others right now, fortunately. So thank you be to God, and thank you to this program. I don't want to be too holy rollers or anything, but thank you, Elaine, for your service, and thank you for everybody on this line.
Thank you so much, Letty G. Okay, we have Jan C. up next, followed by Darian K.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jan C. from Casa Grande, Arizona. I am so very grateful to be here with all of you this morning, and it's always fun when I hear some people share actually seen the faces of on meetings. That really brings a big smile to my face. And in this reading this morning, the sentence that strikes me is, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach in such cases as yours. For most cases, there's virtually no other solution. Wow, that's just such a humble statement from a brilliant doctor who really loved alcoholics and knew that he didn't have the answer for them. And he was willing to let Bill come in and share his experience with others. So, wow, aren't we fortunate? And when I come on this meeting, I hear from you things I need to hear. I am in a really wonderful place this morning and today. I've had a new awakening. I have the educational variety and just realizing that God, my God, is my answer to absolutely everything. Whether it's what kind of food I should be preparing, or whether I should help a neighbor, or who knows what, I've got to keep God foremost in my mind. And I have a strong religious background, and Jesus is my personal friend. So I have a Dear Jesus prayer I say each day and read some things. And just now it struck me about, and I know this is outside material, but there is that prayer that some of you have perhaps seen, Footsteps in the Sand. And I looked it up and wow, that's what goes on when I turn everything over to God. He picks me up and carries me and gets my ego out of the way. So I just want to share that. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful God-filled day. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jan C. Darian K., you're up next, followed by Nancy L.J.
Oh, good morning there. How are you? I'm Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. And, you know, I'm walking. I'm outside. I'm sitting on this beautiful bench in a park near my home and just thinking how delicious the air is because it feels a little fallish. And delicious would not be associated with the air before program. You know, it would be about the food and how wonderful that tastes and how much I look forward to that. And that's not what I'm looking forward to today. I'm looking forward to breathing this beautiful God-given air and seeing leaves on the ground. And I mean, it sounds so trite, but it's like, this is the stuff that I see when I'm not in the food, right? And this is the stuff that I see when I'm counting on my higher power on a daily basis, because to me, this is higher power created. And, you know, because I can't see God, right? So I have to see the proof. I have to see the evidence. And to me, this is all evidence of the higher power. And I know for me that that is the crux, that is the solid glue that binds me to my program, is the higher power piece. Because, you know, I've been in this program a very long time. God willing, next month will be 38 years. And, you know, I don't know where the time has gone. I really don't. And I still feel as grateful, as committed and, you know, diligent about my program and excited to be on the line with other people that understand and that think like I think. And there's just no doubt in my mind that God is there. You know, someone said at a meeting the other day about gravity, and we don't think about floating, right? We think about when I'm sitting on this bench, I'm not going to float in the air because gravity is keeping me down, but I can't see it. I don't know. I mean, they just tell me there's gravity, and that's why I'm sitting in this bench. So that's how that was a great way for me to see how higher power is, that it's like gravity. It's just there, and it's keeping me, right, my feet on the ground. It's keeping me in place, and you know, I'm able to really get through everything, and I'm going through some very difficult times with my honey in regard to cancer.
I'm sorry, Darian. We accidentally lost you here. Okay. Somehow her call dropped. And if she comes back on, we'll let her finish her share. But Nancy L.J., why don't you share with us, please?
I'm just say that I'm just grateful that I can walk this path and trust and rely on my higher power for everything. It started with the food, but there is just so much more to walk with God with and God with skin on, which is all of you. So thank you for being there for me. I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Darian Kay. Okay, Nancy L.J., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Nancy L.J. in California. Super grateful for the meeting today and for all the shares. And just wanted to put in my two cents. Just this staff member, whether it be a doctor or a nurse or whatever, he, you know, 365 days a year, he sees people in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, hopelessness. And for most cases, there is virtually no other solution. I got a nudge this morning to share on something that happened to me a couple of days ago. I had a weighed and measured bag of nuts
that I knew I wasn't going to be home. I was taking my grandson to the doctor. So I was eating my nuts in the car, and that's okay for me to do. And I dropped one. And I had stopped at a busy intersection, and I took my seatbelt off, opened my door, stood up on the street, and looked for that nut. And I got back to my car, and I said, I don't think that's normal. I'm a recovered person, I thought. So, I feel hopeful today. I want to be, I'm in the solution. I am, thank God, recovered for today. But you know what? It's just right there in the background. And, that's really done a number on me. And I've been talking about it ever since, me and the intersection. So if anybody on the line saw me, I'm sure it was pretty, so grateful, because man, oh man, if it wasn't for this program, I don't know. I do know. It would not be pretty. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'm Nancy J in California.
Thank you very much, Nancy J. Quite a picture there. Okay, so 2 minutes share. Who'd like to take it? Star one to unmute.
Christina M.
Go for it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts, and I will just keep this quick, but the shares have been so amazing today. And what really stood out to me and why I felt moved to share was this same line that other people have mentioned. There is no doubt in my mind that you are 100% hopeless apart from divine help. And the word help is what is just striking me today. And I looked it up, and the meaning that I came up with was a source of aid, remedy, or relief. And, you know, when I look back on my years suffering with this disease of compulsive overeating, I spent so much time and so much energy trying to convince myself that I did not need help, and that I could do this alone, and that, you know, I just have this weight problem, and if I can just figure out the right diet and lose weight, everything's going to be fine. And I just, you know, I wasted so much time trying to convince myself that I didn't need help. And what really changed things for me was when I came back to this program about 3.5 years ago, and I finally, something shifted, and I understood. I was 48 years old. I've been suffering with this disease since I was, 2 or 3 years old. I finally understood that I had to not only ask for help, but accept it when it was offered. And it was like, put my hand out, and all of a sudden things started shifting. And I found a sponsor who was available for me and, you know, willing to take my calls and take me through the steps. And it was like when I admitted that I needed help and then also was willing to accept it, it was like just this huge relief, and this weight was lifted off my shoulders. So it's just, it's very moving to be reminded of that. And I will wrap it there. Thank you so much, Elaine, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina M., and everybody who shared. Fabulous. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Hillary B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only to keep you until then.
Hi, thank you again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. As you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.